Carson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In mere seconds, we'll go to Jim Roop, CNN Radio correspondent in Los Angeles. Later on, we'll answer the magical question, exactly what form of government did the Smurfs operate under? We'll see if anybody... We'll give it like 10 calls. Somebody can get a... If you can correctly identify that. And we're just going to... And simply and solely by my definition, I will be the sole arbiter of your correctness. I've got it written down here. If you nail that, we'll give you a copy of the Onion book, Destined for Destiny, the autobiography of George W. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program, live from Los Angeles. Some days I hit that post better than others. CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up with you, brother man?
You tell me. You're the boss. You're driving this truck, not me.
You sound like you've had a long day already. You really do. You don't sound bad. You sound more alive and awake than you did yesterday. Yesterday, I swear to God, it was like you had been jacked.
Hey, I'm hearing music.
Really? Are we feeding Sarah?
Okay, gone now.
Is
gone.
It gone? All right, I'm sorry. That was us. Yesterday, it sounded like you've been jacked full of Quaaludes before you came on the air. Really, it's true.
It's been a long week, man. By Wednesday or Thursday, I'm wiped up.
Yeah, I suppose. It's a longer week if you work at WFAN.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I can.
Hey, right. did I just see that
yes.
CBS and, is... Yeah, really.
Yes, you did. Yeah, they said the effective immediately and permanently.
Wow.
So they
I guess all those protests are going to stop.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure.
Although I did talk to some black leaders today who say they're going to continue the charge and clean up their own house, to use their exact words, and go after the disparaging language and rap artists and some of those comedians. They said, you know, it'd be hypocritical for us to attack a softball target like IMUS and then not try and clean up our own house. But we'll see where Sharpton and Jackson go.
I was going to say, which is, you know, and I guess I'd have a lot more... I guess I'll simply say that I heard that same rap coming out of the mouth of C. Dolores Tucker 10 years ago, and it didn't happen then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I heard it coming out of, what's his name, Bill Bennett, the Book of Virtues guy. You know, he was running that game like 10, 12 years ago, that he was going to tell Time Warner and Interscope to clean up their act. I remember when at the height of the Death Row Records, you know, the height of their game, that everybody was screeching that they had to get their rap lyrics cleaned up. And, you know, people get all worked up about it, and they claim that they're going to do it, and it never happens. Nothing ever
changes.
Well,
there's even a call to boycott the BET Awards in June if the plan is to award rappers who use disparaging language any sort of award or honor. So we'll have to see if that all pans out. This may be a smokescreen just to get the attack on IMUS over and done with, and it may be something that they're really trying to do. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but now this doesn't seem like it can possibly be true. But was there like a beatdown of some kind or like some open gunplay at the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards this year, like 2-3 weeks ago?
No, it was a party off the premises. It had nothing to do. There's that music again.
Hold on a second. Sarah, do we know where that's coming from?
No. It used to be from the Adam Carolla satellite feed, and it's not up. Is it gone now?
Oh, there it is. It's gone. It's back now. Are you guys playing around?
I don't know. No, we're not. I don't know what's going on. The phone is... Something weird is feeding.
Well, if you can hear me, from what I understand, or from what I'm told by police, is that this shooting or this beatdown happened at a party after the awards, which had nothing to do with the awards. It was just a party that people who attended the awards went to after it was
over. All right, Jim, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty, can you pick up Jim and tell him we don't know what's going on? There's music randomly feeding into the phones. This is the best CBS week ever.
Seriously.
Ever.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Jerry. Is that Jeremy Andrews walking by? Hey, Jeremy Andrews, how are you?
What perfect timing you have.
Hey, it's fantastic. Hey, so I have come to the conclusion that our telephone system was built on an Indian burial ground.
Yes.
And that they moved the headstones, but they left the bodies! And here's why I'm saying that. Because you understand that Rick Emerson is a calm man. You understand that Rick Emerson respects geeks and engineers, and Rick Emerson doesn't ever want to throw the engineers under the bus. I'm not that guy. There are radio hosts in this market, let's say, who make it a constant practice to throw the engineers under the bus, try to make life difficult for the engineer. Rick Emerson doesn't do that. Rick Emerson respects the engineering department. Rick Emerson also has to say this, that we've been in the studio now for almost 3 months. These phones don't work correctly and haven't since we've been here. Today, line one doesn't work at all. It can't be used. And the hotline now, when we pick up CNN people like Jim Roop just now, we talked to him, randomly, large blasts of music are being fed down the phone to him concurrent with our own voices. So
and last time that was happening, it was because the Adam Carolla feed was up here.
Is it good music or what music?
I can't tell. It's just we're talking to him, and then you can hear that he's getting our voice, and then he's also getting some loud music feed blasting down the phone at him, which makes it impossible for him to engage in any telephonic discussion with us.
Well, see, the interesting thing about these phones is they are actually physically at the old studio still, and through the magic of.
If I was to ask you why this was happening, would I regret it? If I was to ask you if this was ever gonna stop, would I regret it?
Maybe.
Is Jeff here?
Maybe.
Hey, how do you feel about finding him?
I don't have my cell phone on him.
All right.
I guess I could walk up there and find him.
I'd call him on this phone, but that would probably not work.
Well, let me wander over to Sarah's world and see if maybe something's accidentally punched.
Thank you. That'll be fantastic. I could always have Tim come back in, and he could play some sound bites flawlessly off his computer. Oh no, I guess we can't do that either. All right.
Can I randomly pot a denim?
503-7332. I say giving up the phone number for no real reason. What are you supposed to...
His computer and he wasn't playing anything.
No, my computer's turned down.
Yeah.
But there's nothing coming out of my...
That was both computers right there. PC1 and 2 were both in the team mix there.
Okay, mine's not playing music.
We're not playing anything off our computers, though. Our computers are generating no sound.
I apologize to everybody having to hear this technical discussion
right here.
Well, maybe that was it.
Well, I don't know. Let's take a phone call and find out, shall we? all right, let's see. This is... We're asking what form of government the Smurfs... I swear to God, this sounds like a parody of this show. This sounds like a Mad Magazine parody of this radio program. Like, if I was to do a satire, like, if I was to do an April Fool's Day knockoff parody of this show, this is what it would be. We're talking about what form of government the Smurfs had. Wah, wah. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how do I sound? Do I sound normal or do I sound as though I'm speaking to you over a phone that's possessed by demons?
You sound great.
All right, fantastic. In your estimation, sir, what form of government do the Smurfs have?
Well, I think that they had a form of government.
Don't say Smurfocracy.
No.
Okay.
It was going to have Smurf in it, but it's a Smurfy communism.
I don't believe that they're actually communists, are they?
Well, in the truth... sense, you know, because I mean, you know, every Smurf in the village had their own purpose. You know, they all did their thing, and there was one supreme commander, which was Papa Smurf.
Now, what is to differentiate them from being socialists?
Well, I mean, it could be. Yeah, I guess you could call them that too.
All right. So you believe that the Smurfs are probably some stripe of communism?
Yeah.
All right. That is a well-reasoned argument. I appreciate it.
But a Smurfy form of communism.
A Smurfy form of communism. All right.
Yeah.
That is not the answer we are looking for. But no. It's a great answer, though, and God bless you for having. God bless you for thinking about it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Scott. Marty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Marty? Marty, M-A-R-T-Y.
Marty, your name is your passport. Verify it.
Yeah. I think that it is a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah, because Papa Smurf is he could rule with an iron fist, but instead he rules with a velvet glove.
Yeah, and all the wisdom and all the schmaltzy, you know, love and everything.
I don't really know. I don't really know if it's a dictatorship or not. I mean, I guess. See, I really ought to be having Wikipedia open when I do this.
Hold on just a second.
I really ought to just be, instead of having my own thoughts, I really ought to just be mindlessly reciting the thoughts that I find in Wikipedia.
That's the definitive answer.
It really is. Presuming somebody hasn't gone there and just written, like, the word ass over and over again in the entry. Hold on. Dictatorship. Let's see here. Dictatorship. Let's see here. I'll fill time by saying, dictator.
I barely knew her.
All right. A dictator is a form of government in which the government is ruled by a dictator. Thanks. An autocratic form of absolute rule by leadership unrestricted by law, constitutions, or other social and political factors. So, do we know if the Smurfs actually obey any extant laws? Are there actually rules that they must follow?
I think they follow whatever Papa Smurf tells them to do.
That does kind of sound like a dictatorship. I will say, however, while that may technically be true, it is still not quite as specific as what we are looking for. We're looking for... We're looking for something that I believe is a little more, and it's something that is very specific to the Smurfs, as opposed to, say, Soviet Russia.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
Thanks, brother.
People are being very good. Good incorrect answers. They're being very gracious about it. I appreciate that. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Yeah, Rick. I wrote a paper on this 20 years ago myself.
Did you write? Are you now? Are you screwing with it? Did you really write a piece about what form of government the Smurfs
have? I actually wrote it for a class in college. I called them Marxist-Leninist socialists.
Okay.
And they were an allegory. As the way I had written it out is because they did follow the Marxist line that, you know, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. They
right.
lived in this nice little, you know, socialist utopia. And then Gargamel out there on the fringes was he was the epitome of the capitalist system, who invented Smurf as to screw up the little Smurf commune. So
right.
he take the Smurfs, and what did he want to do with the Smurfs? Turn them into gold.
Is that true? I don't remember that. Did he want
originally it was turn them into gold. Then later on it was he just wanted to eat them. But the original one was he wanted to turn them into gold.
Fantastic. He'll settle for eating them, though.
And as far as poor Azrael, that was an allegory for the NATO nations, notably West Germany, who we kicked all over the place.
Now you're just screwing with me.
No, honest to God.
Azrael the cat?
Yes, I wrote this paper as an argument paper, and I actually ran it through two classes in college and got an A on both of them.
God bless you, sir. You are, and I mean this as the highest compliment, you are a colossal nerd. Really, just a fantastic colossal nerd, and I mean that in the best possible way, sir. The Rick Emerson Show really does salute you. All right. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome, Rick.
Jim. All right. I don't think anybody's going to get what we're doing. We'll do two more, and then I'll just reveal the answer.
Are
probably
you sure that that's the right answer?
Here's the thing. I'll say it. Now I don't feel like we can award the prize, because then everybody's going to cause a ruckus about it. And then whoever I give it to. Well, let's do these two. David, hi.
Yes. I think Wikipedia showed that Brainy Smurf died yesterday.
Okay, thank you.
That's it?
There you go. Thanks. You know, Alexander Graham Bell must be so proud of how his invention is used on a daily basis. People calling him so they can wait on hold to say things like assless chaps. Scott, hi.
I'm not Scott, but I can fill in for Scott.
Okay, Scott, thanks for that. Well, Scott, in quotes, how can I help you, Scott?
Assless chaps. No, I actually...
That's gold. All right, do you actually have thoughts on this? You don't need to. You're already a great call.
Oh, good. Can I have the book?
No.
Oh. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that one fellow who had the paper on the dirty communist Smurfs.
Yeah.
Not only is he a genius because he actually got away with writing a paper on a cartoon.
That is pretty great.
In college,
yeah.
and getting it through. But I don't know if you heard it. He said he got it through two classes. He recycled the same paper in two classes, got an A on it. That's a guy that you want in your corner writing a paper for
it's
you.
It's true. It is pretty impressive, actually. Yeah, I'm with that guy.
If you have him ghostwriting a paper, he could charge double because you could use it in two different classes.
No, he is a hero to all of us.
Yeah.
All right.
Second of all,
we're going to start losing your call any second, I swear to God.
Okay. The phones are acting horrible. I almost thought you were about to have a Don and Mike meltdown. There for a minute, because you were starting to...
Yeah, you should be in a small, confined room with him.
No, I pride
hey,
myself
sir,
on that.
How you doing?
I'm doing lucky
now,
today.
Listen, if you heard that Don and Mike meltdown when they walked off and ended up being gone for 7 weeks, you know that they lost it. Now, we had a nadir a couple right. months ago when nothing was working right. I pride myself on the fact that I have never walked off the show, ever.
No, you are very cool, very calm.
I can get frustrated, but I don't... But, you know, here's the thing. When things go really badly on the show, when things technically go really badly... I don't lash out. I just shove it all deep down inside, and I get almost...
Into a little black ball.
Totally into a black ball of seething hate that will kill me someday. And I think Sarah would agree with this, actually, that I become almost strangely calm. It is
That's why we work well together, because when crap is hitting the fan, both of us kind of
shut
down.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, Siska. I don't mean to make myself sound whatever. I don't mean to make myself sound more like emotionally complex than I really am, because I'm really just an idiot. But when things go badly, I really do. Like, and I've had a lot of girls in the past that I would have, like girls that I was dating. And of course, Lauren and I have had this happen too, where it's like, have some fight, some argument, and it's like, whenever things reach their, like, crisis flash point, I just immediately, like, weirdly just switch into this, like, state of zen almost until it's over. Like, I just go into this weird calmness. And I think that's just how I've just developed that as a mechanism to get through stressful situations. Really stressful situations, I just immediately become very, not mellow as such, but I do sort of get very quiet and just sort of very outwardly calm about things. So like now, like, so it's a point of pride in me that I've never just lost it and walked off the air. Because when things get really, really bad like that, I do, it is like this weird sort of, and I'm sure it's no less pleasant or no less unpleasant. I'm sure it's just as bad to be around, because I'm sure it's like this weird vacuum calm before the storm sensation, but I would much rather do that than, I mean, and everybody deals with it their own, but yeah, like Don Geronimo, who just loses it and begins screaming. And I just, I don't do that. So, all right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The answer we were looking for in terms of what government do the Smurfs operate under, I wrote this down, and I don't see how anybody can dispute this. I wrote down that the Smurfs operate, and this is the conclusion again that we came to in ninth grade on a debate trip in the back of a minivan. And it has held me in good stead these many years. I have come to the conclusion that the Smurfs operate under a patriarchal theocracy. Come on, that's it. Bam.
You've come up with that? You haven't even read it?
No, I mean, I'm saying that was what we came up with.
Who's we?
Me and my debate friends in ninth grade in the back of a van on a debate trip.
So you're judging a contest based on what you and your dorky friends decided in ninth grade?
Yes, okay. I am. Well, come on, it's true. Papa Smurf is a patriarchal figure. He's a lone male leader, and they are a theocracy. They operate under religion. Papa Smurf is a war. He's a witch or a warlock. He's a wizard, right? Papa Smurf practices magic. I don't know whether it's black magic or white magic. Papa Smurf practices magic. He presumably Wicca, which is a religion. They all operate and follow a wizard. It is a theocracy. The Smurfs do operate in a religious system, and it is led by a single male leader. It is a patriarchal theocracy that the Smurfs operate under. Booyah.
Mm-mm.
So amazing I ever got laid. Ever, ever, ever. Take a break. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. A final visit to the Ministry of Truth around the corner. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You say there, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up at 3, Tom Likas, Don and Mike at 7. Let's pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Bad day at BlackRock. Les Moonves, the big boss in New York, has fired Don Imus. Fired him. This is the first time Imus has been fired in 30 years. The last time was for cocaine and vodka and missing him 100 days of work in 1 year. And from New York, he went to Cleveland, cleaned up his act. Then he came back in 1982 to WNBC, which later became WFAN, I believe, in 1988. After WNBC went off the air. So he's been there ever since. Now, he got fired in 1977. An often told story. Because he had missed 100 days of work in 1 year because he was a cokehead. By his own admission, cokehead and abusing vodka. And he peed himself in a phone booth and whatever. And they blew him out. He ended up going to Cleveland And then he came back. And I think when he came back is when they paired him with Stern and Wolfman Jack.
Yep, that was from 1982 to 1985.
Yeah, so there you go.
So that's that. So we hope he gets another job, but the job might be posted.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I was going to say, check the check our check radio and records.
Check, I might check it later.
Go check Street Talk right now. See if something's available. Wanted, early morning, early rising motor mouth in major market.
Meanwhile, the local prosecutor who charged three Duke lacrosse players with rapping with a stripper apologized to the athletes.
Not rapping.
Oh,
well, not rapping.
They were not rapping?
With a stripper. Well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I believe that's a 1P.
Raping a stripper. I'm sorry. Well, that is something totally different. This is a day
presumably
after North Carolina's Attorney General dropped the entire case. To the extent that I made judgments that ultimately proved to be incorrect, I apologize to the three students, said Mike Napon. Oh, don't mention it.
Yes.
Not a problem for anyone.
No more rapping of any kind.
Well, we need something to cheer us up here at CBS this afternoon. And this might do it. Karl Rove is coming to visit tomorrow.
Hurrah!
He's going to be at the Embassy Suites. Stop by and say hello. Come one, come all. That's the Embassy Suites, which is right next door to Washington Square. And that area is usually a bottleneck of traffic because it's the suburbs anyway. And it's part of a Republican fundraiser. And then the Clintons are coming next Tuesday. It's part of the Oregon International Speakers Series. And then there's a private reception for Hillary, which costs a lot more than Bill Clinton's. Hers is $2,300. I think you can get into Bill Clinton's for like $130, $150.
Somebody asked if Bill Clinton was going to be the mystery guest at Listener Party 10. The answer is no. No, no. Maybe. No. The mystery guest will be flying in. Don't forget, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 happens a week from today. Next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. Barracuda featuring live music by Emerson Starship. Hard Rock Britney Spears cover act halfway through. Hit Me Baby. We've got Clyde Lewis doing some emceeing. We've got a whole display of artifacts, memorabilia, tchotchkes, and gigas for the past 10 years of the Rick Emerson Show. Again, a special mystery guest. By the way, I should say this just in, and by this just in, I mean they emailed me last night about it.
Topo Gigio.
And
that's a reference to older people.
Don't be rapping with a stripper. Or rapping a stripper. Rapping a stripper in what? Anywho, so the band emailed me last night, Emerson Starship. They have added a very special, there's a very special mystery guest, but now the band themselves, they've added a very special song to their set list. They've added a very special song to the set list of tunes that's going to be performed at Listener Party 10. I don't even know if I should reveal it. I don't even know if I should reveal what it is. I'll write it down, and I'll show you guys. You tell me. This is the song that the band's going to be performing.
No, you shouldn't announce it.
Should I announce what they're going to be performing, this song?
No, that should remain a surprise.
I think that should. That's hilarious.
It's pretty great, isn't it? Okay, so Emerson Starship is going to be performing this song. It's going to be great. All right. Fantastic. All right, let's do like one more here. Do we have that snuff watch?
We do have that snuff
let's
watch.
Let's do that, yeah. And then we'll take a break. And we've got these calls.
Snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Thursday.
Such classic novels as Slaughterhouse-Five and The Cats in the Cradle has died. Friends of Kurt Vonnegut tell the New York Times that the novelist had suffered brain damage as a result of a fall several weeks ago, and he died last night in Manhattan. During his career, Vonnegut wrote 14 novels that became classics of American counterculture. Vonnegut was best known for Slaughterhouse-Five, which was published in 1969 against the backdrop of the war in Vietnam, racial unrest, and cultural and social upheaval. Several schools and libraries later banned the book because of its sexual content, rough language, and depictions of violence. After the success of Slaughterhouse-Five, Vonnegut went into severe depression and vowed never to write again. In 1984, he tried to kill himself with sleeping pills and alcohol, but it didn't work. He was 84 this time. The author's death comes after the Indianapolis mayor, Bart Peterson, announced that Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five had been voted on by the public to be the city's next reading selection. Slaughterhouse-Five centers on the firebombing of Dresden and an American prisoner of war.
Slaughterhouse-Five is a great book, but I read, when I was a kid, I was a teenager, and I read two of his books. I read, growing over my life, I read Hocus Pocus, and I read Slapstick. both of which were great. And then just a couple years ago, actually, at the urging of Joni DeRoshi, I read Breakfast of Champions. And Breakfast of Champions is one of the... It's just one of the most fascinating novels. I'm not a big reader of fiction. I don't read a lot of novels. Most of my reading is nonfiction. But Breakfast of Champions, I don't know that I would say it's one of my favorite novels of all time, but it really is. That's a guy who clearly just had more creativity just in his hair follicles just than most other authors have in their entire body. And he was just a cool guy, sharp guy, a funny guy, politically astute. So, anyway, Left Behind, a solid body of work. He'll be missed. Kurt Vonnegut, dead, dead, freaking dead. There you go. Here's... Anything else, Tim Riley?
Right, just a couple of quick local things.
Okay.
A dead body has been found in Washington Park. Not Michelle Snowden about it this time, but it's not Kurt Vonnegut. And TriMet wants to increase its fares by 5 cents. Outrageous. Causing many to wonder, is a ride really worth 5 cents more?
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest newsman, Tim Riley.
Back during the Leica show.
Thank you. You'll hear Tim Riley.
Wonderful news breaks.
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock today. We'll burn through these real quickly, and then we'll break. Hi, Brad.
Hey, I saw something on Google Maps that I thought was funny, and I thought you would find it funny.
Yes.
If you go to the directions on there, and you go from New York, New York, to Paris, France, and look at line 23, it says, swim across the Atlantic.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love Google. God bless them. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Yep, no problem.
There you go.
That's right.
I love Google. It's like how, you know, there's that Google, like Google has a version of their page. It's all in Klingon.
Well, Gmail's awesome.
Totally. They're always doing stuff like that. Ted, hi.
I think you mean Chad, right?
Well, sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, you suck, dude. That book was mine.
No, Slaughterhouse Five? That's Kurt Vonnegut.
No.
I know what you said. What are you saying, sir? Oh, about the Smurfs.
Yeah, I got on there right before you... You revealed what it was. I was going to call them the theocratic patriarchy, but, you know, same thing.
Well, fair enough. I'm sorry. You'll have to just be content with the knowledge that you were right. That will have to keep you warm on long nights, sir.
Yeah, I'll sleep well tonight. But, hey, you know, also, Belky's last name was Bartokomus, so there you go.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Isn't that right, Belky? Spencer, hi, last call. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Just saying, I have observed that, you know, there's a bit of isolationism and a little bit of homogenous nature to Smurfs. Kind of like the Smurf Reich, I think, is something appropriate. They had a little witchcraft in there with
Smurf
the scientists.
Reich.
What are you going to do?
All right, thank you. Thanks so much. All right, I'll take a break. Sarah, you want to play us into break?
I do.
We will be back. This is the Rick Emerson Show, part of the CBS Radio family. You stay there.
I dial to it and enter my radio advice. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding a receiver when the switch broke because it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is our salvation. Radio is leading us a nation. You were told you better listen to the radio. I wanna fight the hand that feeds me. I wanna fight that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they never did. Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the time ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the real to real. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is our salvation. Radio is leading us a nation. Say you better listen. because they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told. You better listen to the radio.
Show us 503-733-2970. Coming up at 3, the Don... I almost said Don Likas. That sounds like a god for Don Likas. Tom Likas show, who may or may not be discussing the Imus firing. So, Imus firing. Let's see, Don and Mike at 7. That's what I was trying to do. I'm conflating those two things. Tom Likas at 3, Don and Mike at 7. More caffeine for me when we're done here. Stephanie Miller tomorrow, 6 to 8. Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. We're back tomorrow at 11. Don't forget, the listener party happens 1 week from tonight. Rick Emerson, listener party 10 next Thursday, featuring a special mystery guest being flown in. Live performance by Emerson Starship. We've just added a fascinating song to the repertoire. Somebody has asked, let's see, Rick, about Emerson Starship. Let's see, where's this from? James. James says, about Emerson Starship. Is it, we built this Starbucks. How could it be anything else? We have to be there to find out, my friend. Also, Hit Me Baby, going to be
performing.
The Bank
of America song.
Totally.
Totally.
Yeah. The One Bank.
One
Quarter. Make lots of money. So that's all coming up next Thursday. We're also going to, we got to talk more about this. I was going to talk to Scotty about his DJing thing, but there's no time. So I will simply say, let's see if he's here. Scotty, if you can.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Scotty here in just
end
a second. Edison, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I just like the way that in the whole cadence with the government of the Smurfs, you dismiss out of hand a guy who, from college, who puts his paper through two dissertations, but yet your testosterone-laden Mountain Dew-fueled rant in the back of a van gains huge credence.
all right. Well, fair enough. It did seem like we had a lot of rock-solid, ironclad reasoning behind the fact
that you don't remember.
Well, first of all, look, I'm just saying, A, the analytical power of a bunch of ninth-grade sexless nerds in the back of a van on a debate trip cannot be overstated, sir. I mean, really, there's nobody who overthinks things more than nerds on a debate trip.
Yeah, except you're saying this is coming from guys who believe, truly believe, penthouse letters.
That is true. I will say that the one thing is that guy made no mention of theocracy, and the Smurfs clearly operate under a religious form of government. I mean, that can't be disputed or denied, sir.
Perhaps he was trying to retain some form of secularism to his argument.
Yeah, I suppose, but that's a drastic revision of the reality. That is a misreading of the text, in my opinion.
Perhaps he's Republican.
Let's all go out and try to meet girls tonight, okay? And just wash this stink of loserdom off of us, all right?
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir. That's Edison. Best audience ever. Tim. I'm out of it today. My caffeine, you know what it is?
It's you peaked too soon.
I only had the one Vizo. I didn't follow it.
No, because you had a ton of cups of coffee, and then you had all that Vizo right before the show.
I'm on the downside. Hey, how long do we have for the music? Like a minute here?
10 seconds.
Hey, Scotty?
Yes.
Look at this. You know what this is? This is interview booking information for Alice Cooper.
That's sweet.
If you screw this up, I'll have you killed.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Very important, Scotty.
My whole life has been leading to that interview.
All right.
If you make a mess of that, I will have you. I will have you trampled to death by Clydesdales.
Just so you know.
All right.
So you're aware of that. All right.
Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it is your personal savior, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA. Dave's in the gatekeeper. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com along with Lisa Goddard. We do want to thank Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and Steve Kastenbaum for joining us on today's program. Tom Likas next. Donna Mike at 7. Stephanie Miller tomorrow, 6 to 8, followed by Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please do try to help the retarded. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Bye.